Well, Brethren, several years ago, there was a popular song that was on the radio by a country artist group named Alabama. And the song, I enjoyed hearing it, listening to it, was entitled Angels Among Us. And the lyrics to this song begin like this, of a little boy telling the story of a little boy. And it goes, the first lyrics on the first verse, I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. I took a shortcut through the woods and I lost my way. It was getting late and I was scared and alone. But then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Mama couldn't see him, but oh, he was standing there, and I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayer. And the chorus goes, oh, I believe there are angels among us sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours. That's part of the chorus. Well, brethren, we know the Bible tells us that there are angels, and they are definitely are among us. You know, the Bible gives over 300 scriptures referring to angels in the Bible. And today we're going to look at just a few of them. I don't have time. It would take weeks probably, but we're just going to look at a few of them to see what angels do here on this earth and their many purposes, as they are God's instruments to his glory, the Bible says. I know many of you probably remember some of the TV shows that I used to watch growing up, and actually when I was an adult in the 80s and 90s, there were shows that were put on television by Michael Landon. It was called Highway to Heaven, and it was their version of about angels. And there was another show that I don't know if he produced. It was called Touched by Angels, and it was what they visualized angels might be like. And it was a good family show. Were they correct in everything? Probably not. But it's to show us that angels here on earth do have a purpose. You know, there was an old movie, The Classics, a movie that I know all of you have seen, Jimmy Stewart, It Was a Wonderful Life. I know you've all seen that movie, and they portray an angel in that as an old man. But, you know, lately, through television and the movie industry, it has turned from this theme of good angels to evil angels. We see the dark side being portrayed more and more in the theaters, in a world that's filled with vampires, zombies, witches, sorcerers, but not too many things about good angels, angels that are God's helpers. Well, the first thing we need to know, brethren, about angels is that angels are created spirit beings. They are created. Let's take our Bibles and let's look at that. Let's turn over to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, next to the last chapter, actually second to the last chapter, Psalm 148. We begin reading in verse 1. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever, and he has made a decree which shall not pass away. God created the angels. You know, the scripture mentions that the angels were created and the heavenly hosts were also created, it says there. You know, example of a heavenly host, we don't hear too much about this in the Bible, read too much about it. And it's only mentioned in two places in the Bible, of the seraphims and the cherubims. Seraphims and cherubims. They are the only ones mentioned in the Bible that do have wings. You know, the world portrays all these angels around with wings on their back, and you've seen it in a lot of movies, you know, and that's all fantasy. That's not true. but it does mention that the seraphims and the cherubims have wings on their backs. The word seraphim is plural. It's not singular. The singular word is seraph, means burning ones or nobles. They also sometimes call the one of love, because their name might come from the Hebrew root word for love. Seraphims are only described in the Bible in one occasion. One occasion. This is in the book of the prophet of Isaiah, when he is being commissioned by God to be a prophet, and he has a vision of heaven. These angels, the seraphims, they do have six wings. Two of them, it says, are for flying there. And it sounds strange, but the other two cover their face and the other two cover their feet. That's basically, we don't know a lot about that. There's not a lot said about it. But their position is flying above God's throne. That's what their position is to do. Their duties are to do. Unlike the cherubim, who are beside and around it, the throne. Their primary duty is constantly glorifying and praising God, that they may also be his personal attendants, God's personal attendants, angels of God, and they sing the eternal song, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." You know, cherubim, the word comes from cherim, which cherubim is also plural, and it means to guard a cherubim. Which we'll see when we turn here and we look at this. Take your Bibles. Let's go over to the book of Genesis, where they are first mentioned. One of the few places they are mentioned. Genesis 3. Genesis 3 and verse 23, we'll begin reading. It says, "Therefore the Lord God sent out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim," it says cherubim, "at the east of the gate of the garden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Now, we don't know how many cherubim there were there, but it says they were guarding the gate of the Garden of Eden. You know, they're also mentioned over in the book of Ezekiel in chapters 1 and 10. You can read about that. We're not going to go there. But they are mentioned there as well. And that's the only places in the Bible I think they are mentioned. But we ask, where do angels come from? Well, we've established that God created them. He made them. He created them. They are lower than God. They are lower than God. They are not equals of God. And they are dependent on God for their existence. And they are created for his praise and purpose. They have no power apart from God, who gives them power. This means, brethren, that we are not to worship angels. Some people in the world think that you can worship angels, or they're some type of God or miraculous. No, they're not. We do not worship angels. The Bible tells us that. Over in the book of Colossians 2, verse 18, it says, don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. Colossians 2, 18 says, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize." We do not worship angels. We worship we don't worship created things. We only worship the Creator who created them. And that's it. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven." Here again it establishes it. "And that are on earth, visible and invisible." Get that? Visible and invisible. "Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." All right, we've established that they're created. The second thing is that we know that angels are spirit beings. We know they're created, but they are spirit beings. Turn to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. Hebrews 1, verse 13 says, "But to which of these angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" They are all ministering spirits. They are not like us as physical human beings. They don't age. They don't get old. As God said in the beginning scriptures I read in Psalms, they're here forever. And they neither marry. They don't have children. We know that from Mark chapter 12, verse 25 tells us that. That they don't marry and they don't have children. You know, no matter what Hollywood tries to portray in the movies or on television, and I've seen some of these movies years ago. Nicolas Cage was in a movie, City of Angels. It's about an angel falling in love with someone on earth. That doesn't happen. That's just the fantasy they made a movie about. And Brad Pitt, Meet Joe Black, was also another movie that portrayed him falling in love with someone here on earth. Angels don't do that. That's all fantasy. Angels are spirit beings. We can't see them, although angels can take the form of a human being. They can take the form of a human being, a physical man appearance. We're going to look at that. We know that they appeared as men in the Bible. Turn over to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. If I can get there. Here in Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord appeared to him," talking of Abraham. It says, "Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth, trees of Mamre," I don't know exactly how you say that, "as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, 'My Lord, if I have not found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant.' And they said, 'Do as you have said.' So Abraham hasted into the tent to Sarah and said, 'Quickly make ready three measures of fine meal and kneal and make cakes.' And Abraham ran to the herd and took a tender and good calf and gave it to the young man, and he has hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by the under the tree as they ate." Not only did they appear as men, but they also ate. They appeared as men, and they also ate. Turn over just a few more chapters just to show you that these angels did appear as men in chapter 19 when the story of Sodom and Gomorrah had taken place. And prior to that, he was going to tell Sarah that she was going to have a child. And of course, you know, she laughed and thought, "This is crazy at my age." But anyway, he goes on. He goes to Sodom and Gomorrah and he talks about all this. He says, "Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom." He says the two angels came. These two men left there and went to Sodom. "So in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, 'Here now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, and then you may rise early and go on your way.' And they said, 'No, but we will spend the night in the open square.' And he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Here again, they ate and they had a feast. The angels, who appeared as men, says, now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both the old and the young, all people from every quarter surrounded the house. And as you know, the story goes on that they tried to actually break down the door, the people of Sodom, and get into these men inside the house. So we see that they can be in the form of men. They can eat. So this is an example of them as men, as I said, eating food. The next thing, the third thing, that angels are servants of God. They are servants of God. Now, we've already read that they are sent to us by God as ministering spirits. We read that. They are servants of God. They are to us God's special messengers. When we see examples of this in the Bible, you know, the angels that went to Abraham, the angels who went to Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, and to Joseph and to Mary to deliver messages from God directly to them. That was their job. The Hebrew word for angel is malach, M-A-L-A-C-H, which means messenger. That is the Hebrew meaning of their angel. Angels are sent by God to earth to minister to each and every one of us. And sometimes that means to protect us, doesn't it? Angels are here to protect us from harm or to assist us in times of trouble. You know, let's take our Bibles and turn over to chapter 12 of the book of Acts, a recorded event that took place here. And Peter's time of trouble. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. It says, Peter, and he was in prison, as you know, at this time. Peter was therefore kept in prison, for constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So they were praying for Peter. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and said, arise, raise him up. Rise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garments and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. He thought he was dreaming. He was startled by what was happening. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. The angel was sent there by God to release Peter from prison. And you know, if the angel didn't look like a human, Peter would have been really thinking he was dreaming or startled, you know, but he came in the form, and Peter followed him out of the prison. You know, Daniel 6:21, we won't turn there, says, and you know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. I've talked about that before. But one of the lines he says to the king after he has been protected, Daniel 6:21 says, then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also I have done nothing wrong before you. You know, he sent that angel and protected him in that lion's den. Well, brethren, are angels still being used by God to protect us today? These are Bible examples we've been reading to protect us from harm. Do you think they can protect us? You know, I'd like to read an article from the Kagwa's blogs. And it was written by an old minister's wife of mine back in 1967 when I was going to church in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I'm going to read you this blog that she wrote on Kagwa. It says, "My husband and I were transferred to Tennessee area in 1967, and I used to attend church in Knoxville in 1967. And at that time, we had two children and one on the way. Since we had moved from California to Tennessee, we were now closer to my parents who were living in Wisconsin at that time. My husband made plans for me to take the children to visit my parents, since I hadn't seen them in several years and they had not seen the children. I was to travel by train from Knoxville to Chicago and then to Milwaukee. My parents would pick us up at the train station in Milwaukee and drive the rest of the way to their home. From Knoxville to Chicago, I had to stop in between that required us to change trains. I had to take my luggage, my two little ones, aged 3 and 1.5, and go to the train station that I was to board next. I was pushing a cart filled with our luggage while carrying my son in my arms and my 3-year-old daughter walking beside me and walking as fast as I could under the circumstances. Remember, she was pregnant. When a gentleman came walking very fast from another direction and yelled, 'Ma'am, you're going the wrong way. Here, let me help you.' He took my cart, my daughter's hand, and walked in front of me to the train that said Chicago overhead. Then I noticed that I had been heading toward the one that said New York City. He helped me into the train, unloaded my luggage, and put it where it belonged, made sure we had a seat, and helped my daughter into the seat. When I turned to say thank you, he was gone. I looked all over for him, but he had disappeared. Just like with Peter, the angel disappeared. God knew. I truly believe that he was sent by God. God knew that I needed help even when I didn't know it myself. God will always look out for us if we trust him. You trust in the Lord for protection. You have made God Most High your place of safety." This is taken from Psalms 91:3. "He will command his angels to protect you wherever you go." That's a promise. It says, "He will command his angels to protect you wherever you go." Psalm 91:9. That was from Mrs. Swanson, minister, Mr. Bill Swanson. You know, I personally have a good friend that I've known for many, many years, who is still in God's church. And he told me a long time ago of an event that happened in his life. And we used to go diving all the time, regularly, in the Florida Keys. And this time, though, he only took his family. He took his family out in the boat, his son and his wife and himself. And I believe there was only the three of them there at the time. And we used to go diving a lot, and this time they were doing a tank dive. And we were diving, or they were diving, he told me, about 50 to 65 feet down in with tanks. And, you know, when you're tank diving at that time, you can stay down for 20, maybe 30 minutes without having to come back on a full tank of air. So they were down about that depth, but while they were down, they left their wife alone in the boat. And a storm came up suddenly. While you're down that long, and I've been diving many, many years, storms can come up very fast on the ocean. And it started pouring rain really hard, and the anchor broke loose. Well, while they were down searching around, looking around on the bottom, they didn't know that the boat was gone. So when they finished their dive, they came up. The boat was carried away by the waves, the currents, to take your boat there. In that depth of water, there are pretty strong currents. And when he and his son came up from the dive, there was no boat to be found, no boat to be seen. Because when it's raining very hard, and I've experienced this, when it's raining very hard on the ocean, there's a mist that's made that splatters up from the rain hitting the ocean that makes a mist that visibility drops drastically and you cannot see very far. And it was raining still very heavily when they came up and created this strong mist. And he and his son were treading water as long as they could till they decided we had to ditch our tanks and our diving gear. So they left their tanks, they dropped them to the bottom of the ocean, and they just were treading water on their own there, the two of them. Finally, a tiny boat, came out of nowhere. Big enough, I think he said, for one person. It was so small of a boat that the man told them, you can't climb in, there's no room. It's too small, but grab onto the rope and I will take you to your boat. So they held onto the rope, they took them, the rain quit, they saw the boat a long ways away. The man towed them behind his boat to their boat. And all of this, his wife was very shaken up because she did not know what had happened to her son or her husband. So when they got in the boat, finally got there, she was like really ecstatic that they were okay and everything, but she was terrified during the time of it all happening because she was up top. So in their moment of commotion, of celebration, of being able to get back in the boat and everything, they wanted to turn around and thank the man who had towed them with his little one-man boat, tiny boat out there, was nowhere to be found. You could not find the boat to thank the man. And to this day, they believe that God sent an angel to help them out of their distress. I know that sounds pretty amazing, but God can do this in time of need. He can send an angel if you need one, and you're in distress, God can send one. You know, to this day, those people are still in God's church. I'm sure you all have heard of such stories yourself. I asked before I decided to speak on this, if others had experiences, and they all said, yes, we have experienced things that we felt that an angel was involved in it, and you have received help from God's angels. The fourth area, angels are avengers. Avengers. You know, to be an avenger, you are retaliating for something that was done wrongly to someone else. Now, if you retaliated, that would be revenge if you retaliated. But to be an avenger, someone else is retaliating for you. You are avenging them for what happened to them. God says, vengeance is mine. So we are not to avenge. We are not to avenge or to seek revenge ourselves. However, God does use angels to avenge sometimes evil done to others. Take your Bibles and let's turn over to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14, verse 19. Here the children of Israel have been fleeing Egypt and Pharaoh and his armies, and they've come to the Red Sea. And they're in distress right now. They're backed up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's armies coming. And it says in verse 19, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel, you know, he was there leading them on their way, who went before the camp of Israel, moved, and what? He went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them, which was before them. Now it's behind them, protecting them from Pharaoh's army and the children of Israel. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other. So for the Egyptians, it was darkness. But for the Israelites, it gave light to those so that the one did not come near the other all that night. They were separated by darkness and light. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left hand. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And as we know, as the story goes on, God allowed the waters to fill back in and drown Pharaoh's army. There was angel used. God was using angels to maneuver things to protect his people who were in the way of harm that he was delivering. Turn to Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Here we see the angels, and we see something, we'll get to it. Revelation 6, when the seals were being opened in the end time, it's prophecy, it's prophesied things to happen and to come. It says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. God's servants, God's people. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? How long before you avenge? God can do the avenging through his angels, as we see in chapter 16. Chapter 16, first verse, says, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Who did he use? He used his angels to avenge. Now, this is the beginning of God's avenging for God's people in the end time. Finally, brethren, there are three special angels, archangels, that we all have heard about many, many times, that are mentioned in the Bible. That's Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Gabriel is known as the messenger, archangel. As we see him speaking with Daniel, he was the one that gave Daniel the prophecy's vision and spoke to Daniel. Gabriel did. And later proclaiming the announcements of the impending births to John the Baptist's father, and later to Jesus' mother and Mary. That was Gabriel who did that. We see Michael more as a warrior of an archangel. Michael is more of a warrior, especially in Revelation 12:7. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you. It says, and war broke out in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. And we know that those angels, if we read a couple more verses down, was Satan, the devil, and his angels. And we know that the dragon is referring to Satan. But you know, his name was Lucifer first, which means light bringer and morning star. That was the meaning of his name, light bringer and morning star. But now he's called Satan the devil, and his angels are now called demons. In conclusion, brethren, as the song and the lyrics say, are there angels among us? Yes, there are. The Bible says that we may entertain angels unaware at times. That's in the Bible, and not knowing it. You know, when we pray, haven't you heard many prayers say, sometimes we ask for God to set his angels around about us to protect us, wherever it may be, heard it at feast sites, places, you know, that God places angels here Yes, they are God's messengers. They are God's helpers. But we know angels are God's created beings that he uses to his glory and his purpose in heaven and here on earth. Yet God says, we are going to be one day, brethren, higher than angels as spirit beings. That's in the Bible too. Let us all look forward to that day.